Welcome to the third and final segment of our recording with John Reese. In this section, John continues to share his incredible marketing insights. This is a real wide-ranging section. We took some questions from listeners, and the real key here is as you listen to John's answers, you really get a feel for his insight into business and into marketing. And it's that insight and that mindset which has propelled him to the very top of the internet marketing world. You also get to hear John talk about testing and tracking, talk about the ways that people are leaving a lot of money on the table, the ways that people are throwing money away in their marketing campaigns. John also spends some time talking about identifying ultimately what do you really want out of your business and designing your business around that. So without any further ado, let's get to this third and last segment with John Reese. Okay, John, we have a question from a listener here. This is a person who is selling to real estate agents. So he's basically got a service that he wants to sell them. He's got a list of readers, an email list, and he's a little concerned because he has no relationship with them. They've just basically been collecting the emails and they haven't been doing anything with them. So the concern is whether to just go ahead and pitch them. And actually, that's not what he wants to do. He's looking for alternatives to just, send him an email that's just going to come out of the blue and pitch them for a product. And he's looking for ideas for how to warm the list, how to warm his relationship with that list before he pitches them. So the question is a couple. It's like mechanics. How do you actually go about reaching them when you don't have the relationship? And it's also about content, because I think his assumption is he's going to be giving, some type of content is the way he's looking to build a relationship. So and I get this question from so many people. Okay, you talk about building relationships and you talk about that quite a bit, and you talk about, giving good content as a great way to build relationships, but how do you actually do that? What should I send them? I don't know what to send them. So the question's twofold. How do I build the relationship, and how do I do that? What do I send them, and how do I mechanically, what's my best delivery method? What's the mechanics of building that relationship?
Yeah, I would create a PDF report of some kind. PDF has a higher perceived value than just like email content. So create a PDF report of some kind that you'll email them a link so they can go download it. And make that report have some really good content. If you're doing real estate marketing type stuff, I didn't quite understand what you're actually doing. I think that's what you were talking about.
Well, he's got realtors. He's selling to realtors.
Right, so it's real estate marketing stuff,
yep.
Teaching them how to get more clients,
yep.
And that kind of stuff. I would create a PDF report and give away some really good content about some of the things you teach about, and then basically say if you want to learn more, we have this newsletter, and offer people a free trial. Give them a free, 1 month, or do a dollar trial, which has been a very successful proven model to work. Let them try 1 month's issue or 1 month's access to the data for a dollar to try it out and see if it's for them. And, of course, obviously you state that if they decide to stay after – they don't cancel after the month, then you'll automatically, bill them whatever fee that you bill them. But give them some really good content. But in doing so, invite them to take advantage of what it is that you offer. Don't be afraid to make the pitch to what it is that you sell, but position it into some very inexpensive trial offer just to let them, whet their appetite with what it is that you have to offer that's for sale. But that's what I would do. I would do it with a PDF. And at the end of the PDF, basically the PDF becomes a sales letter, but you're giving away really good content. And at the end of the PDF report, just let them know about the trial and how they can sign up for it.
Yeah, that's basically similar to what I told them.
No, you didn't.
No, actually, I didn't tell them the PDF.
I'm
but
just kidding.
Hey, John, you.
I'm just.
You just like to get into people's skin.
I like to keep people on their toes.
Yeah, you do a good job of it. No, I didn't tell them the PDF, but I said you definitely need to warm the list.
Right. I would give them some of the content that's in the paid product. Hmm. Eugene Schwartz is one of the greatest copywriters ever, mm-hmm. Who's, you know, obviously no longer with us. He was a master at giving away part of the product in the sales process. Hmm. So when it comes to information products or books, give away some of the content that you actually sell. Because, again, they're going to have the mentality of, well, if this stuff is free and it's this good, I can only imagine how great the stuff is that he wants me to pay for. But it's got to be great. That's the key. The content you give has to be great.
You know, my last lunch, I had the week leading up to it, I was playing out the whole story, and one of the things I had was just a killer, if I may say so myself, that it was for this whole home study course. And the book, which is a pretty meaty book, had this killer introduction that was probably 10 or 12 pages long. And when I wrote this, I wrote it like a sales letter. I worked on it as hard as I would work on any sales letter. And, I mean, the introduction was basically a sales letter to sell the consumption of the book. Because I wanted, when people read this thing, I wanted them to really, you know, to open the book, get sucked in, and just read the whole thing. And that way I'd be impacting more lives. I'd be getting more value out of it. But it would also be holding down returns and keeping people happy and looking for the next product. So I just sweated blood over the introduction. And so, you know, coming up to lunch, I'm like, well, I'm just going to put that introduction, which was a hard copy, I'm going to take that and put it into a PDF and release that intro, you know, a couple days before the launch. And it was exactly like you said, it was part of the product, but it was just, it ended up being a great sales letter, even though, you know, it was just written as an introduction. It's really effective.
Yep, so that's a good model to use, is to give them some good content,
yep.
Even some of your paid product if you can, without giving away too much.
Yeah.
And getting them excited about the offer.
Okay, John, I've got a follow-up from that question. It looks like we answered part of it, but we didn't get the entire thing here. So what this listener is talking about, again, with the realtors, is it isn't so much an information product, but it's a service. And what it is it's online lead management software. And right now they've got a 30-day demo that they give to people. But it sounds like the issue isn't – well, one of the issues is that these folks really – they don't know what the soft – I mean, it's about lead management, but they really don't know much about lead management. So one of the things he's considering doing is putting together an information product that teaches them how to do the lead management, you know, all about lead management, how to do it. And, oh, by the way – we also have this service that will do it for you. So again, the question isn't, and I get this question a lot. You know, those product launch techniques, all these techniques, the anticipation, the event stuff, they all sound great, but they're not going to work in my market, or I don't think they'll work in my market, or how do I make them work in my market? And so in this case, it's how do I take it, and instead of using it to sell a product, how do I use it to sell a service?
Well, what you can do is even better, actually. You can, if you're familiar with Camtasia software at techsmith.com or camtasia.com, C-A-M-T-A-S-I-A.com, screen capture software, you could make screen capture videos of you demonstrating and using your software, your whatever it is, your product that you offer, but then go into how someone can benefit from using the software. Like, go in and show how you go and find leads, and then talk about what they should do once they get those leads. You know, the first step you want to take is you want to call these people, or you want to send them this direct mail postcard or letter, and then here's what you want to do, and then obviously you want to ask for referrals, and, you know, whatever the process is. Demonstrate your product with screen capture video, but also teach them. It's like training. Teach them how to use it and how to benefit from it. Again, all that matters is what's in it for them. So the best way to sell it is if you can demonstrate the benefits behind using it and then how they can use it to make money. So that's what I would do. I would create some training videos and teach people how to benefit from using the software.
And when you do those videos, something that's very easy to do is then take them to a landing page. And when the video ends, it automatically takes them to a web page and have it take them into that $1 trial.
Yeah.
John, that you talked about.
Or free demo or whatever they have set up.
Right.
Okay, John, we have another question from another listener about time frames for the launch. And the question is, you know, the launches you've done, there's been a lot of the ones that at least we've seen that have been public in the Internet Marketing Niche that we know that you've done have been big launches that you've built up to, you know, you've put a lot of effort into. Maybe it's a month long coming up to, you know, you've had, they were generally for big time dollars. The question is do you ever swing smaller is the question. Do you ever do quicker launches, compress the time frame where you're doing this in a, maybe in a different market where if the dollars aren't quite as big or the opportunity is not quite as big or the situation doesn't warrant it, maybe you'll just do a much shorter launch. You'll compress it down into a few days or a week instead of, you know, weeks long as we've seen you do.
Yeah, all the time. It's a truncated. Yeah, it's he's asking if in my other markets that I do business in outside the internet marketing market where I orchestrated launches that obviously I spent several months on, do I launch products with you know, at a much smaller scale or a much shorter time frame? The answer is yes. I have launched products you know, using about a 2 week timetable where I'll start, you know, getting the list interested and then building up until a launch date and then launching it and, you know, and doing it very successfully to, you know, existing customer lists, being able to, you know, do $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 at a time from a really successful launch. The other big thing about doing a product launch that most people seem to miss is how much money is left over in the follow-up. And I don't know if you've talked much about that, Jeff.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, by following up, you know, or kind of repositioning yourself right after the launch to people that missed out on the actual launch day, by going back to the list and saying, you know, again, it's like implied social proof, saying, wow, yesterday, you know, I launched, or today's Monday, let's say, and you launched a product on Friday, you can just say, you know, wow, the launch on Friday was absolutely insane. I've been getting phone calls and emails like crazy, you know. It's, you know, people have other questions, and some people, you know, that didn't order had these questions, and that gives you a good chance to address any possible buyer objections by creating, like, a frequently asked questions type of layout, saying, here are some common questions that I'm getting, you know, will the software work on a Mac? Will this help me lose weight if I still love to eat, you know, Twinkies? You know, whatever. But that gives you a reason why to go back to the list and give them more of the benefits behind the product. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there. You can generally make about 30% of what you make on your big launch by following up over the next several days after the launch.
Mm-hmm.
Your launch will be big. The day after the launch will still be big, and then it will start to taper off. I think for most of my stuff, it ends up being about 60% of the sales come on the first day, you know, then it's like 25%, then 10%, then 8%, you know, then it just trickles off.
Yeah.
But you can get more sales if you follow up with your list and refer to your launch and kind of how popular it was and how it went. And if, you know, people happen to miss out or, you know, they went to the website and they couldn't get on or whatever the case is, whether the, you know, some people didn't even go to the website, but it gives them the reason to go and check out the offer again. It gives you reason why for even contacting your list again. But anyways, to answer the question, the point was, you know, can you follow the same process on a shorter timetable on a smaller scale? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's obviously, if it's a lower priced product, you don't need a 3 or 4 month lead time to really get people psyched up about, you know, a $39 ebook. You can be pretty effective in a couple of weeks by, you know, giving them some content related to the product, building up the benefits and getting them excited, using some kind of scarcity play, and then turning the launch of it into an event. But the answer is yes, this stuff works whether you do it in a week or you do it within 4 months. But there are some advantages to being able to take more time. Obviously, you have more opportunity and more pieces of the puzzle of the process to build the anticipation. You don't want to overdo it, but a lot of times if you spend more time, then you can really build it up and really get people more amped to buy the product. But a lot of times it comes down to price point of the product, what your overall marketing strategy is for the momentum after that product. But for many markets, for some less expensive products, you don't need 2 to 3 months. You know, 30 days is a good I don't know what you're suggesting, Jeff.
I like to – what I've been telling people – well, first, it comes down to the timing and purpose, like you said. It really depends on the launch, and they're all going to play out a little differently, and there's different building blocks you can drop in. But I sort of like to do my first tease in the 30 to 45 days out, and I like to survey people about 30 days out. And when I'm surveying them, ostensibly I'm asking them about what they want in the product to make sure I got everything in the product. You know, sometimes your product's already done 30 days out, and you're getting
right.
it produced and such. Really what I'm going after, I'm looking for objections at that point. I'm trying to identify objections. And I also use those surveys to collect testimonials. I just showed people this on the last call. So that's when it really starts to ramp up. So it's about 30 days out, I do the survey, get objections, get testimonials. But also, just by doing that survey, you're putting it in their back of their head that something's coming. So that's about when I start.
Yeah. So to answer his question, the answer is yes. You can be successful doing this kind of build up on a shorter time table if you need to.
Yep. All depends on what you want, what your product is, what your story is,
right.
what your hook is. Okay. Any other questions?
John, real quick question. Don Crowther.
Boy.
Okay. They went away. Do you have any ideas on how to take a product that isn't going to have a pop-in with a window and then come back? You know, there isn't a real scarcity play in terms of I'm only going to sell X number of these. It's something that's going to sell day in, day out, of how you could build some of this anticipation for somebody who is coming along 3 months later and buying the product.
How do you I'm misunderstanding your question. How do you build anticipation for someone that comes in 3 months later or that it will still sell 3 months later after the product launch? Because the anticipation is obviously being built up for – are you saying – I'm kind of confused.
Okay, let's say I want to launch a product on X date, and I want to do a big launch prior to that date.
Right.
But that product isn't going to go away. It's going to continue to sell
– Right. Years.
So what I'm trying to get is – get the advantage of all this anticipation to make somebody be foaming at the mouth when they come to that product launch date, but that person is not around and you don't even know that person until 3 months later, then they show up at your site or they meet you through some other means of marketing. Any ideas on how to get them foaming at the mouth besides just a great sales letter?
That's an interesting question. Obviously, you're talking about how do you basically get the same benefit of the buzz and anticipation when you launch a product the first time. You could relaunch the product, obviously. That's something to consider. And a good reason why to relaunch is just what I did with Traffic Secrets. Do it based on success stories of people that bought the product. But that's a toughie. As far as how to put in scarcity into a product where you're going to keep selling it or have plans to keep selling it, there are a number of ways to imply scarcity. I did it with Traffic Secrets, talking about I reserve the right at any time to edit this product and take out certain strategies that I feel – have been exposed too much. That's great for any kind of information product. Just telling them that, hey, the day may come, don't be upset with me if, I tell you that, there's a new version of the product out and it no longer contains, steps 4 and 5 because I didn't want any more people to learn about them, but you can still get the rest of the product. That's one way as far as why they should buy it initially when you release it.
Don, it's a tough question Don asked, because I think, what I'm guessing he's talking about is, say you have, you have a website and you throw up a $47 ebook and you do your little launch, say you've got 10,000 people on your list, and you do your launch and it comes off okay, but then you want to continue to sell that ebook on an ongoing basis on your website and still have it be some build in some of these elements so that someone 6 months later comes to your website and they, don't even know that you launched your product 6 months ago and, trying to get them amped up.
Another way to do it is like this. If the product site itself isn't openly linked on your site and people can't go to it And let's say you're sending people to a landing page to get them on like a mini course or getting them into an autoresponder sequence. The sequence can be preloaded with anticipatory messages that build up the excitement about the product being available for them. And even though it's been launched before, there's nothing stopping you from saying, giving them an autoresponder message that says, you know, in 2 weeks I'm going to tell you about something really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then several days later, the autoresponder sequence starts giving them more information about it. And then when that time comes, according to the autoresponder sequence saying, I've been telling you about this for 2 weeks. You know, on Friday I'm going to send you a special message, or in 2 days I'm going to send you a special message, and it's all, you know, obviously preloaded in the sequence. Where you can go to take advantage of X, and you'll definitely want to get it while you can. And then, of course, you just give them a link to the website. Mm-hmm. You're not saying, I'm releasing it to the public on this date. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not misleading them or lying. You're just saying you get them excited about something you're going to tell them about, even though it's already public somewhere else. They don't know that, you know, or they may not know that. And then you just lead them to it. That's one way to use kind of evergreen or, you know, sequential anticipation sequences again and again and again for people that get in on the list. That would be one way to do it.
And you could give them an incentive to act built right in there. Like for the next week, you know, if you gave them a coupon. I know One Shopping Cart does coupons. I mean, you could build this right in there. You give them a coupon that lasts 1 week. You know, so when, you know, Joe Blow gets the message on Tuesday, he's got 1 week to act to get the special pricing or the special bonus. And then you can play it out for that week with him. And then, you know, someone else joins Thursday, then they have 1 week to act. So you can build those in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. A lot of creative things that you can do.
Don, you got it? Is that
good? Thank you, John. Appreciate it. In fact, that's actually where I was going next was, okay, is there a way to simulate this whole process? And so, good.
Excellent.
Any other questions out there?
Hey, John. This is Gene Bryson from Louisiana.
Hi, how are you?
Good, man. I just got your three DVDs. They're excellent. I've gone through them.
Not a bad freebie, huh?
No, not at all. In fact, I brought them in, and my wife said, what did you order now? I said, I didn't order anything. John's still sending me stuff. So,
funny.
Anyway, you're really meticulous about tracking and quantifying everything. And I wanted to ask you, how did you learn to do all that? I mean, was it just School of Hard Knocks, getting out there and doing it, or was there a primer or something that you read or information that you got a hold of, or what?
Well, how I learned to track meticulously and keep an eye on the numbers and stuff is because I basically, at the age of almost 23, drove myself into $100,000 of debt by having a failing mail order type enterprise or enterprises, as I was trying to do multiple businesses through mail order when I learned about direct marketing at a young age. And after basically, pardon my French, losing my proverbial ass, I finally realized I'm going to be in dire circumstances if I don't find a way to become successful with this stuff. And I finally just learned that it had to be about fractions of a cent and not just about dollars. When it came to making things happen, that the more you could break things down to a micro level, and I don't mean to get too nerdy here, but the more you could break things down to some kind of a micro level of cause and effect and, you know, results and spending a penny and getting back a penny, you know, 1.1 and or losing 1.1 and breaking it down that way, that's how I finally learned that the real money in this business, in the direct marketing, direct response marketing business, you know, is knowing all the math and tracking all the numbers. It's what you spend, whether it's with your time or whether it's with your money in advertising or marketing, and it's your exact returns that say everything about how successful you are playing this game. And the truly successful people, you know, don't get in a car and drive down the street with their eyes closed, not looking at the gauges or through the windshield. You know, the race car drivers and pilots and anyone that's doing anything like that, flying or in control of anything, they have to use their gauges and know everything that's going on to be as successful as they can at doing that. Well, marketing is just like that example. So I didn't used to do it, and I think that's probably why it made me broke, and I learned the hard way that in order to stop losing money, in order to make money, as competitive as many markets are, the only way to do that and the only way to have an edge is to be meticulous about the numbers, almost, you know, being just very anal about it and being always being very conscious of it and being very aware of it and realizing that that's where all the money is made. And that's what eventually led into me becoming led me to become a fanatical tester. It was to learn that these numbers and making them slightly improve little by little, a gradual improvement process is where all the money is made, not just coming out with a home run and just, you know, hitting it big or buying ads for $10,000 and hoping to get back more than $10,000. So that's where it all came from. It all came from basically dire circumstances of being broke and saying, I have no choice but now to lower the margin of error and make very, very few mistakes or I'm going to be in deep trouble.
Did you have like an aha moment or like a book you read or a product, or was it just sitting there looking?
Yeah, I mean, the aha moment I think came when I was sitting down. I was analyzing some results that I did from a couple of campaigns of sending out some postcards through direct mail and looking at a couple different pieces that I had sent out and seeing how they performed differently and to different types of lists. So not only did I have two different creatives, so to speak, two different versions of a postcard, I also had sent the two different versions also to multiple lists so I could see both. I could see how one performed better in one list, but also how one performed overall. And then I just realized, I was like, wow, I was like, you know, analyzing these numbers is really where all the money is made. And 99% of people in most markets don't even get into half the stuff that internet marketers can as far as tracking their business. I know for a fact there are people right now pouring tens of thousands of dollars or more, like into Google AdWords advertising, that aren't really carefully tracking, you know, where their sales are coming from, what keywords and everything else. They're just kind of throwing everything all together. But many people are getting a return, a positive return, so they're okay with it. But in a quick example about that, if they meticulously tracked everything, like in this case their keywords and their individual ads, they'd probably find almost every case that there are a large percentage of their ads that aren't profitable, and if they'd stop advertising on those specific keywords, their profit would go way, way up. But, yeah, I mean, it's basically just, you know, school of hard knocks, going broke and just being tired of being broke and just saying there has to be another way to make money, and just realizing that, you know, to make a lot of money, it's about scalability and squeezing pennies on a larger scale, not hitting it big and getting lucky and making a bunch of dollars.
That's a great answer, because I know sometimes for me, as you get more successful and the dollars, like the cash flow coming in, it's bigger and bigger.
Easy to get lazy.
Yeah, it's easy to get sloppy.
And I'm just as guilty of it at times. If I didn't have awesome technology that manages all my stuff, which, you know, up until right now is proprietary, no one's even ever seen it or had access to it, I don't let anyone use it, then, yeah, I probably wouldn't even do it as much and wouldn't make as much money.
Yeah.
But because I put in the...
So when are you going to release that?
I don't know.
I've been hearing rumors for a long time.
I'm almost tempted not to release it because it's a competitive advantage, but... Yeah. I promised my customers I would, so I have to stick to my word. So that's that Max Profit product.
Yeah. Let's start building anticipation. Tell people what it's going to do for them.
Well, I mean, what that – I won't give a commercial for it, but basically it's – I don't even – you know, I don't even want to use the term secret weapon. What it really is I consider it my command center. It controls all my stuff. It tracks, you know, the numbers from any campaign or any project and tells me what's going on at a glance at any time, what's profitable, what's not, where's the money coming from, where it's not coming from, where's the traffic coming from, where it's not coming from, and it manages split tests for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Green light making money, red light making no money or making less money.
Mm-hmm.
But so soon. And there's also some cool stuff to it that I can't talk about, but soon. And I'm not trying to build the anticipation for it, although that's a good byproduct of it.
You just did build the anticipation.
It'll definitely be released this summer sometime. But that's the answer to that question about the tracking stuff. And it's fun stuff, especially when you – that's what's great about the Internet. Unlike the mail order business, technology can do it all for you. So it doesn't take any work.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I don't know about anyone else, but I love to look at stats. I love to look at reports.
Right.
You know, I recently had a mastermind session with a bunch of friends and colleagues at my house, and there's about six of us, and we were just talking about, and these are all high-level guys, you know, making, you know, some of them making mega millions, but we were talking about what is it that you ultimately want in your business? What do you want your lifestyle to be? And I think it's very important for people to think about this and then position themselves to get in that position. So for me, when I asked the question, I said, here's what I want to do. I want to wake up every day and go to my computer and print out a report that shows every business I have and just lets me see, like, the day's activity of where the money's coming from, you know, where the traffic's coming, all that good stuff. And then all I want to do is be able to make some minor decisions about how to grow, you know, certain elements of those reports and pass that off and have other people just put the work in motion to make it grow. And I go spend my day doing something else. I'm not quite there yet. I am getting there. But it's awesome when the technology will basically show you what's going on and can even help manage it as far as improving it, like with testing and that kind of stuff. So it's cool. It's fun stuff. That's what the benefit of the Internet is. It, the technology can manage most of the business for you.
Yeah, you get instant feedback. Yeah, I remember when you talked about liking to look at stats. And when I started publishing in 96, and this is before I mean, at that point, I couldn't even afford to buy a domain name. So I had a Tilde site. You know, it was like, you know.
Right.
Whatever, slash Tilde J. Walker.
On a Unix box somewhere.
Yeah. And so, you know, I put up a bunch of pages. It was about the stock market, this website. It was, you know, my J. Walker site was about the stock market. And I put up, you know, a few charts about this and about that. And you know, some comments about the market or this and that. And one of the things I put up a few charts about bear markets, you know, the market crashes, like the 1929 crash and the 1987 crash and a few other things. And then just because I thought it was cool, you know, I put some of those counters on the bottom of the page.
Right.
Because back then, you know, I didn't even know what logs were, and I didn't, you know, certainly couldn't afford a log program, and there weren't any log programs on my server or whatever. And so I just put those counters on. That's the only way I could track traffic. And I just started to notice. It was like all of a sudden, like, some of those pages got absolutely, like, zero traffic. But the pages about the bear markets, about the market crashes, were getting a lot of traffic. And I'm like, well, I guess, but I'm like, okay, people are really interested in that. So I'm going to put up a whole bunch more stuff about that. And it started just drawing lots of traffic, and I ended up getting coverage from, like, PBS and other stuff. And
it was fun to watch those numbers grow.
Yeah. And I
stats,
was like,
the stats in this business, it's like the scoreboard. It's like you're playing a game.
Yeah.
It's like it's what's keeping score. So it's fun. It's fun stuff.
Yep. Let me open it back up, see if we get any questions. Other questions out there?
I was just going to say thanks for the answer on the tracking stuff, because when I started to look into this, at first it was kind of a get-rich-quick mentality in my head,
mm-hmm.
and then I started to watch and listen to what you were talking about in the traffic and how you build businesses, and then I thought, wait a minute, this is really a legitimate thing to do, because it's a business thing, and I had to get that through my head first, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to think about it is, like, just think about it if it was your health, okay? Like, if you had high cholesterol or high blood pressure that the doctor said, look, you're about to die if you don't do something about this, how closely do you think you would be monitoring your blood pressure and what you ate and, you know, and the time of day that you had, you know, heartburn or whatever else it was? If your life was at stake, you certainly would be keeping track of every little thing that goes on in relation to that problem. Well, guess what? Your life is at stake when it comes to your business. You and your whole family's livelihood is at stake. So why don't people put more attention to all the details and every little thing through testing and tracking like they should? Well, who knows? But it's the same type of thing. You have to approach it the same way. I don't mean your business is necessarily a life and death situation, because obviously having your own business is a blessing, and however hard you want to work is up to you. But you still have to put in the attention if you're really serious about making a lot of money. and tracking all those little details and on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, John, I've got a follow-up question from a listener here. You were talking about the pre-notification list and how you use that to increase your motivation and to test the market. Is that, will you actually use one of those notification lists, the pre-notification lists, to test to gauge the potential responsiveness for a product before you actually, you know, if you're just in the process of thinking about a new product that you're going to launch, do you will you use one of those pre-notification lists to gauge whether you want to get into that market, whether you want to produce that product?
Are you asking, is that the method I use to figure out what product to create next?
What I heard is gauging response, like potential response for products, and we'll
No, I typically do not use that to gauge response, although it's a good indicator, and it's a good motivator to get the product done if you're in the middle of the product development. The best way to gauge response is basically to keep up with the pulse of your customers and of your market, you know, whether it's through surveying or doing other types of market research about other things they're actively buying or other things your competitors are actively selling. No, I use that just to start the process and to start sublisting, but it's a secondary indication of interest that motivates me and really gets me going towards a product launch when I do that.
So, John, when you send your newsletter out, which doesn't happen all that often, but they're always just stellar content, do you get a lot of – do people write back to you quite a bit?
They used to until I changed the reply address to be an autoresponder address. I pretty much direct people now to the blog or the forum if they want to make comments.
Mm-hmm. But you get a lot of feedback coming in. I mean, you're...
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. Yep.
Constantly.
And, I mean, that's, in fact, that's whenever I get questions, I have this one, you know, folder in my email program. It's just called questions. And whenever I get a question, you know, I'll answer it, and then I'll drag it over there. And then if I'm ever looking for a product idea, I just go back to my questions, you know, that folder, and start looking through all the questions people have asked me. And, you know, that's what people want to know. That's what they're
going to Yeah, no, to that's a great way to gauge the interest of what to create next for people or their interest of what they want to buy next, that is.
Anyone else out there with questions?
I had a question about what John just said about having his newsletter go to an autoresponder. I had to do that myself, too, because, yeah, it was too much email, everyone replying, asking more questions, wanting everything. So I have my assistant answer it, but you have automated it, but do you actually put, do the emails go somewhere where you could review, possibly see what, because the feedback is important, too, right?
They go into, like, a catch-all type of archive.
Pardon me?
It goes into, like, a catch-all address, and it becomes archived in a file.
But you would have to look at each email to...
No, I look at the file. I can scroll through the file to look at all the emails.
But, oh, okay.
But whenever I want to.
That's probably cheaper than having an assistant do it. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions for John? Calling once. John, I think you beat him to death here.
Good.
You did a good job of getting him to share a lot of things that he probably wouldn't have otherwise. Nicely done.
And for anyone that doesn't know, John's website is marketingsecrets.com, and it's criminal if you're not subscribed to his stuff, so go there and join his list. I think that's it, John.
Okay.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having
me. Great call.